Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian. My co-host today, Brian Johnson. Hello.
What's up, Charch?
It's always fun to talk through the first round. We do it kind of on and off all off season, really. And maybe it's not fair to all the other players. Maybe, you know, the second round is just as important as the first round. Maybe it's more important. Third round, maybe that's more important. But the reality is it's the first round.
And everybody,
it's all the star players. And who doesn't love talking about all that stuff? Everybody loves talking about those things. So we're going to do a too early PPR mock draft of the first round, 12 players, the order we'd take them in. You and I basically alternated making selections. Mm-hmm. So we don't have 12 different minds here. And so, you know, there's that, but we're smarter than most of the other 10 would have been anyway.
And right, and we're representing each of the 12 teams. So like if the first three picks I make are running backs, it's not like I'm going to stop picking running backs because I'm building one team. I'm just
correct. Yes,
we're doing what
as
this
yeah,
team
what we think
would,
that
do
owner would do
as right. These players fall off the board.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. All right. So, and listeners, if you want to respond to this, we care about what you think. You probably will listen to this and go, "What? You didn't take so and so, or you took this guy too early or too late." You can tweet at us at Paul Charchian on Twitter and at BTXJ for Brian Johnson. We want to know, do you buy into our mock draft? Do our picks make sense? Let's begin with the first pick. We flipped a virtual coin. It was the Fantasy Football Weekly 25th anniversary coin, and I lost that pick. You have the first selection in next year's draft. What you doing at 101?
Well, let's shake it up. This pick might draw some disagreement, but I'm going Derrick Henry first overall. I know it's a PPR league.
It
Henry
is PPR.
Catch a lot of passes, but the age-old adage is you can't win your league with your first round pick, but you can certainly lose it. And you know, you lose it when you take guys like Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley to no fault of their own, get injured,
yep.
Stuff like that, and then you're really swimming upstream for the remainder of the season if your first round pick goes belly up like that. But Derrick Henry has not gone belly up over the last three seasons. Really, the only three full seasons he has played. He turns 27 in July, basically entering the prime of his career.
Is 27 the prime for a running back? It seems like 24 is the prime for a running
considering
back.
His first 3 years, he's still got a lot of tread on his tires.
Yeah.
Just from 2018, 2019, 2020, when he's really gotten the heavy volume, his carries have gone up from 215 to 303 to 378 this past season.
That was a lot. You know what happens to running backs that get over the, 330 carry threshold.
Yeah, I know, but Henry, man, he seems like he's cut
from
different cloth. The corresponding touchdowns have gone up each year to 12, 16, 17 this year. It's just he gets stronger as the season goes on. He's mm-hmm. proven that year in and year
he's
out.
He's great for fantasy playoffs.
And he doesn't catch a lot of passes, I know, but his targets have gone up year over year as well, and the catches have gone up with them, 15 to 18 to 19.
Yeah, right.
Not a ton.
That is not count.
But it's not like he can't catch. Just the opportunities really haven't been there, and there's nothing scarier than Derrick Henry with the ball in open space. I don't know why they don't try to throw him the ball more, but maybe they will.
Well,
the new offensive coordinator,
right? Arthur Smith is gone, but I gotta believe this is still going to be a Derrick Henry led offense.
Absolutely, and it's not like he's the only offense too. He's got a great pass game. Tennessee has a great pass attack to balance things out. So Henry, yes, McCaffrey, Barkley have a higher ceiling probably, but Henry's ceiling is just about the same, and I like his chances of hitting it more than the other guys. He's just more trustworthy.
Well, it's a very safe selection. It would not have been my selection with the first overall pick, but that's okay. It's totally defensible.
I don't think it would be most people's, but that's where I'm going.
Okay. With the second pick of the first round, I am taking Christian McCaffrey, which it was a very tough call over what's going to be the next three guys that are going to go in our draft, and you'll hear about the others in a moment, mm-hmm. who I considered all of them here. He's Christian McCaffrey was the consensus first pick last year by a mile, like 99% of drafts. Christian McCaffrey was number one last year and lost, of course, as you already know, the season to injury. But none of those injuries last year are the type that are going to linger into this year. If they needed Christian McCaffrey to play a game right now, he'd be fine. He's fine now. So I do believe that you don't have to worry about last year's injury. In fact, it's one fewer year of wear and tear on Christian McCaffrey. And whether it's Teddy or somebody else at quarterback for the Panthers, Christian McCaffrey likely remains the focus of this offense. Yeah.
I could throw,
will be if it's Teddy.
I could throw screen passes to Christian McCaffrey.
Yes, you can. Yes.
So, yeah, not too worried there.
Yep. Now, and get this. In Christian McCaffrey's 2.5 games that he played this year, he averaged 30 fantasy points per game, which is more than any other runner.
2.5 games?
2.5 games is
yeah,
all he
got.
It
seems like he was more like, but yeah, just because he seemed like he was coming back every week. But he
right.
was, oh, man, brutal.
So in his 2.5 games, he averaged 30 fantasy points per game, most of any runner. The modestly skilled Mike Davis ended up being an every week starter for you in this same offense, and he's fractionally as talented. Carolina's offense is capable of creating fantasy production. We already know that for Christian McCaffrey, and it will do so again. What are you doing at pick 103, third pick of the first round?
Yeah, it's like you said, these are the first five picks, or first, yeah, four or five picks, very tough. I should say, I don't think Derrick Henry was with a bullet pick at one, but
no,
that's where I went.
I agree.
It could go many ways. McCaffrey's certainly a viable option, and so is Dalvin Cook, who is who I would take if McCaffrey and Henry had fallen off the board. It's kind of really the same concerns with McCaffrey. It's injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not that you should be so concerned with him getting injured in 2021, but Cook has never played a full season, tore his ACL 4 games into his rookie year, and his games played in the 3 years following, 11, 14, and 14, so he's never played a full year. Gary Kubiak is retiring. I think that dings Cook's value a little bit.
I don't. Clint Kubiak's going to, it takes over, and really Zimmer will, this is the beauty of Cook, is Zimmer insists that his runners get a ton of work.
Well, you have your finger on the pulse of the Vikings way better than I do, that's for sure. So, I don't know. Dalvin Cook, incredibly high ceiling, just like McCaffrey, could easily finish RB1 fantasy player number one overall. So, I would go Cook here, shoot for the moon, and hopefully he stays healthy.
Vikings offensive line, as it is currently constructed in February right now, is about the worst pass blocking line in the NFL. And they're just like a below average run blocking line. So they need to run a lot anyway, because that's what their line allows them to do.
Sure to address that in the draft yet again, one would hope, right?
I think so. At pick 4 of the first round, I am taking Devontae Adams. Dominated his position last year, leading all wide receivers in fantasy points. Despite missing 2.5 games, he still led all receivers in fantasy points. He had the second most fantasy points per game, and it was not even close. And all season long, he only had 2 dud games all year. And even those 2 dud games was like a 6-catch, 60-yard game, and a 7-catch, like 50-yard game. That's not bad. I mean, you got 6 and 7 catches. You know, you end up in double-digit fantasy points in a PPR leagues anyway. And if you include the playoffs, Adams scored in 14 of his 16 full games, which is crazy for a wide receiver, or really anybody.
I mean, they treated him like a goal line running back, essentially. He's like 1 yard line, throw it to Adams.
Yep. Right. His average game this year, 11 targets, 9 catches, 98 yards, and 1.3 touchdowns. Staggering production for Devontae Adams. Now, there are reasons to think Adams could regress in 2021. Almost, that level of production is almost unsustainable. Mm-hmm. So just natural regression would be number one.
Yep.
Number two, 2 years ago, Aaron Rodgers was quarterback 20. By fantasy points. Everything really fell off the table. And will he remain at MVP levels at age 38? Maybe not. You know, maybe that's not, maybe it doesn't all come together for Aaron Rodgers. And then lastly, do the Packers bring in a good receiver? And there's a bunch of good receivers in free agency. Do they bring in a good receiver who's going to siphon off targets, siphon off some of the necessity that the Packers had to go to Devontae Adams? And I think that's a real threat.
Yeah, I think they definitely bring in another wide receiver. And Robert Tonyan, too. He's a threat to Adams. He wasn't, like, fully utilized all year, you could say. Yeah. And if they really take the reins off of him, then that could sap Adams' production for sure.
But Adams, I still love the pick. But Adams could still go, you know, he could still regress by 10-20%, and he absolutely belongs at pick 4 of the first round. What are you going to do with pick 5?
Yeah, I was expecting to take Adams here because I thought you would have selected Travis Kelce at 4, but
it was between those two. Sure. It was so close.
It's a virtual coin flip, but I would take Travis Kelce here if he was still available. Mm-hmm. Would have finished as wide receiver 3 in 2020 on a total points and a points per game basis.
Yeah.
In PPR, 14 PPR points per game. Now, Darren Waller, if he didn't exist, Kelce might be the clear-cut 101 because Waller at 11 points per game can almost cancel out the Kelce advantage, but that's about it. The next three tight ends with the most points per game that played a full season after Kelce at 14, Waller at 11, were Robert Tonyan, Mark Andrews, and TJ Hockenson, who combined to average around 7.5 points per game.
Combined to
they
averaged.
It was like cumulative average.
Yeah.
So Kelsey's essentially two of those guys.
Yes.
In your tight end spot.
Oh, such a huge positional advantage.
The positional advantage is massive. Now, could Darren Waller or a fully healthy George Kittle finish the year as tight end 1? Maybe. But it's going to be Travis Kelce. And I don't trust Kittle to stay healthy because he's such a violent blocker, too. And that's such a big part of his game. So. Mm-hmm. Waller is the only real threat, but yeah, Kelce, wide receiver 3 as your tight end,
such a huge advantage. Yeah. I have no problem with people going Kelce with the first pick, as you mentioned earlier, and I may end up swaying myself to do that over the course of the offseason. Right now, I agree with where you've got him at 5.
If you're doing multiple drafts, I think this is the year you have to diversify, not only among players but positions, running back, wide receiver.
Yeah.
You could take Davante Adams first overall this year. That's certainly a viable strategy. Yep.
At pick 6 of the first round, I've got Tyreek Hill. I don't think I need to defend selecting Patrick Mahomes' go-to wide receiver in any way here. Nope. In fantasy points per game, his rank since Patrick Mahomes, wide receiver 2, wide receiver 11, and wide receiver 5. He's been great, obviously. And you know what? Just intangibly, I love having guys on my fantasy team who can score on every single play in which the ball is in their hands. You know, like Barry Sanders in his prime. And there are only a couple of guys like that in the NFL. And Tyreek Hill, every single play is a potential touchdown no matter where they are in the field. And those guys are just fun to have. When we come back, we'll go through pick 7 and beyond in our all-too-early PPR mock draft. Please stay tuned. Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Chargin and Brian Johnson with you, going through what we believe is an appropriate first round PPR mock draft,
especially for February.
For February, it's way too early, but February. Already taken: Derrick Henry, then Christian McCaffrey, then Dalvin Cook. So in running back, running back, running back. Then we've gone off running back: Davante Adams, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill. Let's go to pick 7 of the first round, Brian.
Now, when we were doing this draft together, it was going swimmingly for 6 picks, and I think we can agree those are the 6 in whatever order you prefer.
It kind of is.
Then once we hit 7, then I was like, okay, I need a few minutes to think about this. I'll let you know when you're back on the clock.
Right.
And it's a tough choice with these 6 guys off the board.
And this is the first one of your picks that I don't agree with.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I don't know if I agree with this, to be honest with you, right, the more I looked into it. But I said I shot for the moon with Dalvin Cook with the 3rd pick, but you're really shooting for the moon with Saquon Barkley, the 7th overall pick in your 2021 draft. Let's start with some good. Barkley should be full go by the time training camp starts. Probably
for sure.
Even mini camp.
Yep.
He blew out the ACL in week 1. Plenty of time to recover.
Yes.
Very young. And his talent is undeniable. Passes the eye test. The metrics are all there. Since the start of 2018, here are the most rushing touchdowns of 20-plus yards. Derrick Henry has 7. Saquon Barkley and Nick Chubb both have 7. Excuse me.
Barkley's missed 2 seasons.
Yeah. Barkley's played 31 games. Chubb has played 44, and Henry's played 47.
Yeah.
So Barkley, arguably the most talented running back in all of the NFL. The problem is he's on the Giants. And that's where the bad comes in, especially the rest of the team. The O-line ended the season ranked 2nd to last by Pro Football Focus. New York drafted Andrew Thomas 4th overall last year, the first tackle selected in the draft.
Yeah.
Thomas allowed 57 pressures a tackle, 14 more than any other player at the position.
Oh, jeez.
He was the only player at left tackle to be charged with 10 sacks allowed as well.
Wow.
So, man. And, you know, Daniel Jones, verdict still out on him. And I don't,
might be the best thing you can say. So, although, I'll mention this. I saw a bunch of metrics at the end of the year that showed that Daniel Jones played the hardest schedule against the pass of any quarterback by a mile. And I think that's, I think there's some truth to that. So there is some opportunity for him to get better there.
Yes. And so, and back to the line, Giants sure to address it in the draft again. Yeah. One would hope. And they'll get Nate Solder back, the right tackle.
That'll
who opted
help.
Out because of COVID concerns. Right. I think his wife has had cancer or something like that. So he didn't play. So that should help. But yeah, again, you're kind of fearing re-injury, even though you necessarily shouldn't. It's not that Barkley is injury prone or has a history of injury, but you're worried about the ACL. But if he stays healthy all year, he should live up to the seventh pick, if not higher. So we'll just cross our fingers. Hope he stays healthy.
You know, he was picked 2 on average last year, and because he's an extraordinary talent, and you just hope that the ACL doesn't sap some of that from him. And but nowadays, you know, look at Dalvin Cook, came off the ACL and looked as good as he ever did. Mm-hmm. So it just doesn't mean as much as it used to. I think you can get Barkley later than that, but not a lot later. I think he's going to be going at end of first round more often than not.
Yeah.
Now, a player that I'm going to take with pick 8 is somebody who I think some of you would have taken as early as pick 2. Alvin Kamara. His average draft position is pick 3 right now in the early ADPs.
And it was a Kamara Barkley coin flip.
So why did you pass on Kamara? 4 times.
I just still don't view him as a true running back. I don't know. You know what I mean? He just, it's not like the,
no, I don't know what
18
you mean.
To 20 carry guy. He's never going to see that kind of volume of carries. I mean, he has periodically, but you know, and losing Breeze hurts. I don't like that offense. I don't like him as much. If Taysom Hill is a quarterback, that's for damn sure. So I'm mitigating that risk unless you're going to prove me wrong here.
Well, let's talk it through. Alvin Kamara scored the most fantasy points of any running back, but it's harder to evaluate his 2020 season because the 6 touchdown explosion against Minnesota skews all of his stats.
Just a little bit.
You know, if we remove the Minnesota game altogether, just wipe that off the books as though it never even happened, he's still RB3, though, behind only Cook and Henry for Alvin Kamara. So, you know, even without those 6 touchdowns, he was still awfully good. He only had 900 rushing yards, and he only hit 100 rushing yards one time, that Viking game. But he chipped in 750 receiving yards. That puts him at almost 1,700 total yards, which is fantastic. He caught 83 passes after catching 81, 81, and 82 passes the previous 3 years. So you can bank on him hitting between 81 and 83 receptions every year, and that is PPR gold. We love that. Now, as you mentioned, the offense loses Drew Brees, and his games under Taysom Hill were the worst of his season. Hill started 4 games. Kamara's PPR points per game dropped in half. Half. 3 of Kamara's 4 worst games the entire year, including the playoffs, were under Taysom Hill. In Hill starts, I mentioned before, Kamara finished the season as RB1. In Hill starts, he was RB20 in fantasy points per game, Alvin Kamara, and that's your worry.
I remember before Breeze went down, Kamara was on pace to break McCaffrey's reception record for running backs set just last year. But yeah, that all went out the window as soon as
it did. It did.
There was a game he wasn't even targeted, I recall.
Yeah, there was. We're like, why would you ever do that? So
you got to call the police when that happens.
Kamara drops to 8. That explains why he drops to 8, is that's the concern. But the upside is RB1. Yep. High scoring back in the league last year, and I got him at pick 8. You're up on for pick number 9. Who are you selecting?
It didn't seem like you would have RB1 potential watching his first 8 games in the league, but Jonathan Taylor came on strong.
Yeah,
from week 11 through the wild card game. I'll include that 7 games. He averaged 20 carries, 117 yards, and more than 1 rushing touchdown per game. Caught around 2 balls, 15 yards. We know that's more of Nyheim Hines a bit, but Taylor just gangbusters in the second half of the year, and he looks just great going into 2021, as do the Colts. in terms of their offensive line, at least, mm-hmm. ranked seventh last year by Pro Football Focus. They'll all be in place going to 2021. Yes, Indy needs a quarterback, but I'm not too worried about that from Taylor's perspective. And I should have mentioned this for Derrick Henry at the first overall pick, because this is a major boon for he and Jonathan Taylor. Two games against the Texans and Jaguars next year.
Right. That helps.
That's a quarter of your season where there's like guaranteed 200 scrimmage yards and a touchdown at least. So, yeah, Taylor looked like he was a borderline bust first half of the year in 2020, but that changed drastically in the second half. And I think he's got bell cow written all over him going into 2021.
Well, I don't think anybody bell cows in that offense.
I don't
think Frank Reich is built that way, and he's proven it in Philadelphia.
He was late in the year, though. 27, he was getting over 20 carries, 27 carries. He had to get 30 carries in a game.
I don't know. That's the part that worries me about Taylor. It's just, what's the usage going to be like, and is he going to have these games where he just disappears?
Still, 70% of the 70% of the carries in the bag for.
I hope you're right for Taylor. Pick 10. I struggled with this selection and ultimately decided on DK Metcalf, who is the fourth highest scoring receiver from weeks 1 through 12. And then the wheels came off for that whole Seattle offense, and he fell to wide receiver 37 after that, including being outscored by guys like Isaiah McKenzie and Darnell Mooney. Are you serious?
Yikes.
Those guys more better than DK Metcalf. But really, it wasn't just him. The whole Seattle offense came to a halt in December. This is an offense that generated 17 points, 3 points, 15 points, 9 points, and then 23 points in the playoff game. That's it.
Ugh.
So it was bad. But also, he faced some really good cornerbacks during that stretch. Jalen Ramsey, James Bradbury, Richard Sherman, Kendall Fuller. Those are good, good cornerbacks. And he just went up. It was just a gauntlet. Every week we're doing Fantasy Football Weekly, Brian, mm-hmm. and we're like, well, it's a brutal matchup, but it's DK Metcalf, so you kind of have to start him. When it turned out, you probably shouldn't have started him. When I think he should continue to be great, and he should continue to improve, and he should be much more like the guy we saw in the first 12 weeks. This is just his third year. He's got room to get better. Russell Wilson urging for an improved offensive line, and I think he's going to get it. Seattle's schedule looks far easier this year, including some bottom-dwelling secondaries in non-divisional games like the Vikings, the Texans, the Jaguars, and the Titans. That's four of the worst secondaries in football last year. These big-bodied end-zone targets like DK Metcalf are more predictable fantasy producers than the little guys who have to score from distance. And I like that about him, too.
And they just got to let Russ cook, right? It's that simple. Let Russ cook.
According to him. Your new offensive coordinator for Seattle is Shane Waldron, who was the passing game coordinator for the Rams. So you'd think he would emphasize the pass with the Seahawks. So I roll all that together. I love DK Metcalf. He's the kind of guy you want on your team. He's got 3 touchdown upside in any game. Most any other wide receiver outside of Devontae Adams does not. Let's go to pick 11 of the first round, Brian. Who you got?
I certainly contemplated a wide receiver here as the representative for Team 11, but there will be some elite options after the turn I could take in the second round from mm-hmm. this spot. So I went with Nick Chubb, who's kind of like the last of that. There's really like a 1A and a 1B tier at running back. I kind of view him as the last guy on that list.
Yeah.
Only played 12 games in 2020. Finished 9th among running backs in total points, so very impressive. Was 6th in points per game. The Browns finished with the number one ranked offensive line by Pro Football Focus, so they'll be rock solid going into 2021. Yes, Kareem Hunt is kind of a thorn in your side. Didn't slow him down much last year, and we may not see the 298 carries Chubb got in 2019, because Hunt was suspended the first 4 weeks, I believe.
8 weeks. First half of the season.
Yeah, 8 weeks, you're right. But if Chubb can get to that 250 range, he only had 190 in 2020. Again, he only played 12 games, but 250 mm-hmm. is attainable. Based on his career numbers, we're looking at 1,300-plus yards and 10-plus touchdowns, and that's just running. That's just rushing. And he doesn't do a lot through the air, but his receiving numbers actually didn't take a hit. They kind of stayed stagnant. It's not a great word, but they plateaued where Hunt's fell off entirely. So it's not like Hunt is stealing all the receiving work either. So Nick Chubb, and, you know, if something happens to Hunt and then they just got to ride Chubb entirely, that's RB1 potential right there. He's proven that on a per-touch basis. And Cleveland loves to run.
Yeah, that's the big part of it. I was just going to mention, if you didn't, Kevin Stefanski, who grew up in the Zimmer mindset, man, he loves to run the ball.
And they got a good defense. It was not healthy. The whole unit was like not healthy all year. So if they can stay healthy, it's going to be a clock control, ground control kind of season for Cleveland.
That is the goal for the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. I am convinced that that's true. Final pick of the first round of our mock first round is Stephon Diggs.
That would be the wide receiver I would have taken.
If there was another receiver to go here, that was it, I think.
Definitely.
At the end of this, I'm going to touch on a few guys we didn't take in the first round, and there are some receivers in this conversation, but he finished as wide receiver 3 this year. The best thing about Diggs was his consistency. Only 2 dud games all year, including the playoffs. He topped 100 yards 9 times. Wait a minute.
How many?
9 times.
Yes.
Nine times.
He had at least 6 catches in 18 of 19 games.
Wow.
6 catches in 18 of 19 games. He scored in 8 different games, Diggs did. Josh Allen looks like he's only going to get better as a passer. I mean, you can't say that he's a lock to repeat last year's crazy production because he's only done it the 1 year. But there's no reason to think that Allen's going to suddenly regress dramatically.
It would just be injury to one or the other or both.
Something like that. I like guys on my team who are the go-to player on their offense. That's Diggs. This team has no interest in running the ball.
Nope.
The go-to player is Stephon Diggs for a very good offense for Buffalo. He is my first selection as the last pick in the first round.
I like it.
Listeners, what would you do differently? You can at Paul Charchin, at BTXJ, let us know. A couple of players that fell outside of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I never took Aaron Jones because I don't know where he's going to land, and I don't think he's going to be a Packer, and I don't know what the situation is going to be. How about you?
Yeah, as of right now, you cannot take Jones in the first round. But where would he have to end up where you would consider a realistic landing spot? Say Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Goes to Pittsburgh.
Then I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm interested in round one for sure.
You know,
New England?
They lost Pouncey.
Not so much New England.
No, that would
definitely
be bad.
Not New England.
That'd be bad. There are places he could go where I'd be very interested in him, depending on offensive line and will he be a workhorse?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he
was a great fantasy producer despite the fact that he was getting sniped by his own team all the time.
Yeah.
If he goes to Miami, you know, and they don't go with Myles Gaskin, you know, there could be places for Aaron Jones where he's going to get 20 plus touches every week.
Atlanta might be a spot.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
I like it.
Like that better. DeAndre Hopkins did not get picked. The average draft position among people that are drafting now for DeAndre Hopkins is middle of the first round. I didn't even consider him here, to be honest.
No, if he had to replace one of the receivers we took in round one, he'd be the first guy up, I would think. And I think Ridley's probably the one other guy.
I'd rather have Ridley.
But yeah, I can live with Hopkins outside of round one. I wouldn't take him there.
I just think Hopkins did not flash the way I wanted him to with big games and even consistent games. He had a lot of just sort of middling games that worked in there. And obviously he's a really good receiver. I just think this offense didn't cater to him like Houston's did. And he doesn't have Deshaun Watson, who's awesome.
And the ascension of Dan Arnold, clearly a concern for me.
That's a huge concern for you. Touchdown. Well, Dan Arnold's going to eat up double digit touchdowns next year. So that's the problem.
I cannot wait.
We didn't take Zeke.
Yeah, we kind of touched on that last week.
Last week we talked about Zeke and our concerns for Zeke. You and I don't, but Zeke's average draft position is the middle of the first round.
Crazy.
I don't know who's doing that.
I'm not taking Zeke in the no matter where I picked in the first round. I'm not taking Zeke in the second round.
He's on my kill list. He's like a round 4 guy for me. Totally agree. How about this name, Austin Eckler?
Mm-hmm. We talked about him a couple weeks ago.
I like Austin Eckler and. You know, I thought he was sitting on a very good year this year. Obviously, I did not expect him to blow out his hamstring for 10 weeks.
The worst rated offensive line by Pro Football Focus, too, the LA Chargers.
It's always terrible. Yeah. When are they going to get that straight?
Any kind of improvement would be a boon for Eckler.
It'd be huge for Eckler. And, you know, I love the fact that they've got the quarterback of the future there, and they're going to have teams' defenses are going to have to respect the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Eckler could be sitting on a really nice bounce back season. We obviously didn't pick any rookies in the first round.
I think Najee Harris is the one guy
who could,
depending on where he
landing
lands,
spot. Yeah,
if he looks like he's the guy and the only guy around. So, but there, I mean, CEH was a rookie picked last year. Barkley went in the first round, I'm pretty sure, a couple years ago was a rookie.
Oh, yeah. So, it could happen.
You might see Harris.
It could happen.
But I think he's the only one.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire ended up, you know, once Damian Williams opted out, Clyde Edwards-Helaire went in the first round of most drafts. He's going to be a fascinating guy, and I'm thinking about trying to pry him out of, in my Dynasty and Empire Leagues, pry him out of the owner, because that is a frustrated owner who just saw him have a bad season in which he did very little, including the playoffs.
Yep.
This is, if you're ever going to buy on CEH, this is it. And a lot of running backs get way better in year two.
Well, there is probably, if you could go back, especially in the Superflex Leagues where CEH was the number one pick, there's like 5-6 guys you take over him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, for sure.
Jefferson, Jonathan Taylor, Justin Herbert.
Oh, yeah. Based on what we saw so far.
Yeah.
So, you know,
even Joe Burrow.
In an ideal world, I can move Zeke for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. that's the trade I want.
Good luck with
right
that.
Right there. I don't think anybody would fall for that.
You're going to have to pad that
funny
a little bit.
Business. Thank you for listening. We encourage you to subscribe to the show, rate and review the show. We are especially grateful for those of you that listen in the off season and make it all the way to the end of a 32-minute podcast. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.